And I don't know why anybody hasn't thought of this, but maybe we should just sit in silence and stare at each other. It's great radio. Why hasn't anybody ever done that? I can't imagine.
Actually, we did that last time.
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, yeah.
It must have been, yeah.
It was scintillating. It was like summer stock.
I don't know if it was like that. So today, Mark and Les have been here plenty of times, and Mark's going to share some news and reviews from the local eating industry around here. He writes a blog, and he has hiddenboston.com, where he shares his reviews of restaurants around here that are very hidden.
Yep.
We'll hear more about that. Plus, you've got five songs that you put together that you said were just kind of random things.
Just random. You know, as you know, on Fridays on Facebook, I post songs. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is to get reactions from people. And, you know, if, like, there was a song, I think it was by Gomez last week, and no one liked it.
Oh, so which song? Okay. I love that band.
I forget. I don't even remember.
I don't know why I forget.
But then there are others, like yesterday's song, that got a huge reaction. So we switched out a couple songs mm-hmm. because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone will you'll hear that later. What, yeah. After, what, 10 o'clock hour?
Yeah, in the 10 o'clock hour okay. sometimes. And Les, who I'm staring at now. Hello, sir.
How are you? I'm vertical.
I'm vertical. Yeah, I'm vertical too. But I wasn't about 2 hours ago. Just
oh,
saying.
Good. That's good. That's where you're supposed to be, horizontal. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you're here today with quite an exciting thing. Usually, you will play music that is not you performing. You will feature other artists that are performing things, but today's a bit different, and it's about one particular composer who's, well, if I were a psychiatrist, I might think that he had a some kind of disorder because he sort of vacillates between two separate styles, and that isn't done.
You're very perceptive. Some people even today called him crazy. Oh. So you're quite right.
Well, I don't know if I'd call him crazy because I don't like to call names.
No, some called him crazy. Whether he is or not is another question.
So is this a Russian composer?
Yes.
Okay. And what was his name?
Alexander Scriabin. Scriabin. I'll talk to you guys a little later.
Okay. I look forward to it. And I know that this is really exciting because this is a very, very interesting situation because it just doesn't happen.
Right.
Usually there is a style that someone will practice throughout their quote-unquote career, and this gentleman sort of broke the mold there.
Well, you're really nailing it, Mike, because we're talking about two distinctively different styles, one not influenced by the other, and that's never happened before with a major composer.
Okay, so we'll hear from you sometime around the bottom of the hour, I think.
Okay, thank you.
So that'll be good. We look forward to that. And I play five song sets.
Oh.
The first one is always some new music. I call it new noise. Mm-hmm. And Neil Young is back with Crazy Horse for the first time in a little while.
That's really interesting. Because I thought he was pretty much done, at least done with Crazy Horse.
Well, crazy as it may sound, the new record he's going to put out is called Colorado. And this is great, just the stinging guitars that we love from Neil Young and Crazy Horse. This is brand new called Shut It Down here at WMFO in Medford.
so you want it to rain. Just sit here with me, and once the clouds come in, wash away our pain. Need a place to go, a place to call on, just you and me in the rain. Skin is so sweet and warm, and damp is the air and the clouds outside. Everything has a story to tell. Need a place to go, a place to call our own, just you and me and the rain.
It's a beautiful day. Good. good mom shining through the trees. And don't the great man look good, baby, flagging down the double E. Don't the sun look good going down over the sea. Well, but don't my gal look fine when she after me.
WMFO, Medford. It's Mike here on the mic at 925 with Mark and Les Hurwitz. How you guys doing?
Not too bad. Pretty
well. Not too bad, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
no complaints.
Not too bad.
All right. Well, let me tell the nice folks that are listening what we just played, because that's our friend Peter Parcek from an EP back in 2011 called Pledging My Time. That's a I don't think it's a very well-known Dylan song.
No,
but there's so many songs. It takes a lot to laugh. It takes a train to cry is that one. And Peter doesn't mess around. I mean, it's just...
That's just... Talk about serious guitar time. It's our friend Marion.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, that's just great guitar work.
Yeah, and the vocals ain't too shabby either.
No, not at all.
Such a shout out to our friend Peter. Always happy to play your stuff. Just before that, the great old Positive from Toy Boat. That was back in my mind.
Positive. Yeah. I saw them at Bentley years ago in the basement, some basement room in Bentley. What a band they were.
What a great band.
Yeah.
Doyle Bramhall II, after that, from 2001, there was a CD called Welcome, that's So You Want It to Rain. Another excellent, of course, guitar player there. You didn't really know that song, and I'd have to say I really don't either. I just found it this past week, but So You Want It to Rain was that one. Really cool.
First time I heard it.
Yeah, he's a great artist, just like his father. Bad Marriage, great cover of a song that I already love. I think I posted that yesterday on Facebook, just because these guys are so good, and their covers for their influence, you know, Aerosmith, are outstanding.
And they were here 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Maybe three.
Three. I can't remember. I was here for a while that day. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, but wow. They played Walking the Dog, I think, in the other studio, and
that was really good.
One of their songs, I think.
Yeah,
when they were, it was just amazing.
They did about six songs.
Yeah, Destiny did a video, and she posted on Facebook. It was wow.
Was something.
Yeah.
Our friend's local band Bad Marriage was Sweet Emotion, and started off the new noise with Neil Young and Crazy Horse from a new record this year called Colorado that was called Shut It Down. And for a change, he's being political. But it's nice to hear those searing guitars from Crazy Horse. I think Neil Young is, although he is such a legend, he's an acquired taste. I don't know that everybody loves him.
No, I know some people who do not like him at all, yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan, absolutely a huge fan.
I am too.
I know people who don't like him at all, but you're right. Totally acquired taste. Crazy Horse, they've been around for 50 years now.
Yeah.
And Neil's been around
70.
he started in Buffalo Springfield, what was that, maybe 66, 67. Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
Yeah, but always nice to hear new music from him and them.
Yep.
Right? So it's 9:28 in the morning. We're going to do another set. And right after that, Les is going to come by here. Well, he's already here. he's just going to talk from where he's sitting, actually, just not to blow the whole radio thing. But he's got a...
He just slammed into your...
He's making fun of me with my gesticulations.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, but that's not good radio.
He's got a great kind of a story, a real life story of a Russian composer who did something that nobody does. You know, just sort of didn't make their own style. And sort of broke the mold, and he's and you're playing the piano on this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. He says sheepishly, "I've never seen you be sheepish."
Only temporarily.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's cold out. You need the sheep skin.
The wool.
That's right. All right. So let's do another set. We'll get back to Les at 9:28 in the morning. Boston band called Hyber, HYBER. This is a brand new track from them called Ghost at WMFO. Medford.
Bye. Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm listening to the radio.
Tufts Freeform Radio, WMFO, Medford.
Bravo!
Don't believe the devil. I don't believe his book. Well, the truth is never the same without the lies he made up. Don't believe in excess, success is to give. Don't believe in riches, but you should see where I live. I believe in love. Don't believe in forces, don't believe in rage. But every time she passes by, wild folks escape. Don't believe in death row, skid row of gangs. Don't believe in the Uzi, just went off in my hand.
WMFO, 9:47 in the morning. Mike here, along with Mark and Liz Hurwitz.
Good
Hi, guys.
Morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
No complaints.
Just played a quick set there, and then we're going to pass it over to Les Hurwitz, who's got a great presentation coming up. But first, I'll tell you, I started that last set with Boston's own band, Hyber, H-Y-B-E-R. It's an EP they just put out this year called Sleep. It's Ghost. I like that song a lot. I can't get it out of my head. Bruce Coburn, that's how it's pronounced.
Coburn, not the other way.
That's right.
Beavis and Butthead pronounce it.
Anything, Anytime, Anywhere was the CD. Wondering Where the Lines Are. The Muffs, a wonderful band back in 2014, put out a record called Whoop-De-Doo, Weird Boy Next Door. The DBs, after that, from the record called Like This, that was Lonely Is, As Lonely Does. And, of course, U2 rounded out the set from Rattle and Hum. That was God Part 2. And what a great segue when we come from God over to Mr. Les Hurwitz.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have things to tell us.
Well, I have things to tell you in order to more, for you guys and gals, to more intelligently understand the music you're going to hear. I mean, I really should remind you of the premise that you're already aware of, of the hordes of you listening to me understand at all what I say. And that is, in terms of, and it's not a matter of you must, such as, you know, in jazz or pop or whatever you do, you sit down and be entertained, not necessarily doing anything or doing a lot while you're listening to the music. My feeling is, and that's fine, my feeling is that in my limited situation, I think it's better at times to understand that you can be entertained more effectively if you understand what you're listening to or just about to listen to. And I've done that all the way through in the almost 3 years that I've been here. And, you know, I still question the taste of Mike Newman in terms of having me here, but here I am, you know, and for the last, it's almost 3 years. It's hard to believe. And I don't know where the time has gone. Now, what I'm going to be discussing today is the name of a composer whose name is relatively familiar among classic lovers. And his name is Alexander Scriabin, S-C-R-I-A-B-I-N, a composer from Russia, Tsarist Russia, just before, who died just before the revolution that brought communism into being. Some of you may be, you know, familiar with his name, but what is fascinating about the guy, the attachment of what you hear and what he came up with and the imprint he left is based upon something that is never broached upon. Let me tell you quickly a story. When I was hired at Longy to teach at the college and also the prep school by a then director of the school, Nicholas Van Slyck. That's V-A-N, Van Slyck, S-L-Y-C-K, who's an who was an American composer. And you can see it, you can find his music on YouTube and find some of his published works available in terms of buying the sheet music and so forth. He was a director at the time he hired me, actually. And I was there a couple of years, and then for some reason, and to this day, I don't know the reason this happened, but for some reason, all of the music colleges and schools in the Boston area were suddenly interested. There was a surge of interest in the music of, who is this guy, Alexander Scriabin? We really are interested in what he's doing. We're not sure. I'm certainly not sure as to why this happened, and it happened all at once. And Longy was involved. In other words, we were all interested primarily at the same time and for a short period, only a few months, of the music of this guy. And so there was a resurging of interest in him, actually, even though he died in 1915. One day, Nick Van Slyck came to me and he broached a question. He said, is it possible in a radio program of a half hour to be able to prove something that has never happened with a major composer before, and that is the movement from one style of music to a totally different style without the influence of the first having anything to do with the second? And so I understood something that I knew, but really never talked to anybody else about. His question was, this composer, he is the first in history, and it's never happened since, to go totally from one style of music to another, so that if we heard his early music and directly thereafter his latest music, the late music just before he died, wouldn't it sound as if there were two totally different men writing music thousands of miles apart? And that broached a question, and he asked a question which really enthralled me. He said, is it possible for a 23-minute program, which is a 30-minute radio program, we were in contract with one of the famous music stations in the country, the CR Network in Boston, and we were doing weekly programs for us. We were the only music school in Boston, all the colleges and all. We were the only one at the time to do something every week on this radio station. And he asked me, Nick Van Slyck asked me, is it possible to put together a program in a half hour that proves the point that this man went from 19th century romanticism to total mysticism? Can it be done? And he said, if you can do it, why don't you get on the radio and prove it? And so I said to myself, thanks, Nick. That's a great assignment. how do I deal with something like that? And so I sat down for about 3 weeks and just agonized over this question. Is it possible in a relatively short time to prove such a really staggering thing? And I'm not putting myself on any pedestal. That was the question. And after about 3 weeks, I realized that Scriabin had written a series of what we call preludes, he called preludes, all the way through his life, from the beginning to the end, all of which are very short. Almost all of these preludes are only one page long. And I decided, my goodness, is it possible? And I looked carefully at each and every one of these preludes to take that which he called my Chopin period, that's what he called his first period, straight romanticism, the search for beauty simply for the sake of its existence. And that's what we hear in the 19th century, and that's what the romantic century is all about. Namely, you know, people like Chopin, especially Chopin, who wrote for nothing but the piano, or Schumann, or Liszt, or Brahms, you know, music that can be considered really beautiful. What I mean by beautiful is that, you know, if we're walking in the woods or we are gazing at the presidential range from a hill in New Hampshire and we look at the beauty of that which we see, the soaring peaks and the colors and the distance which accentuates the beauty of that which we see and so forth. And you know what beauty means in traditional terms, like the blue skies and the pink flesh and, you know, gorgeous colors are the things that we see in the Renaissance, for instance. Well, what about the statue of David, Michelangelo, David, you know? So that sort of thing. He went from that period to something somewhere along the line, it started changing to a totally different world. He went to the darker side of the psyche, the human psyche, and, let's call it mysticism. He starts with, as I say, pure 19th century romanticism. The music is beautiful. I mean, it really is. All you have to do is listen and say, what a gorgeous melody. The harmonies are gorgeous. It's just a perfect kind of example of what we call beauty traditionally. But then we hear a rumbling, and we hear the music changing, and it becomes less and less what we call beautiful. But it's beautiful in another way. It deals with the exposition of the other side of the human psyche, as exemplified by the expressionistic period in the artist at the beginning of the 20th century. And remember, Scriabin, that Scriabin lived from, 1871 to 1915, so he straddled both centuries. He went into what we call the expressionistic period, the examination of the darker psyche, the darker side of the human expression. And we hear music that becomes less beautiful, less beautiful, less beautiful, and then it becomes gripping and terrifying. So, you know, if we listen to movie music out of the monster movies, the music is not beautiful, but it's gripping, it grabs you. You know, when you hear John Williams and you hear the music, you say, my gosh, that's wonderful, but it's not necessarily beautiful. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, so what I did, I mean, you know, I went through this process and I said, okay, I'm going to take several of these preludes and in a 23-minute span, let's see if I can prove to myself that I can be transported from the 19th century pure beauty for its own sake, romanticism, and this new world of mysticism, which ends, let's tell you, there's a piece of music that Scriabin wrote that he did not complete at the end of his life. 1915 is when he died, called Mysterium. And he described this Mysterium as a land with bells hung from clouds. Go ahead and tell me that's 19th century romanticism. No, it's a totally different world. And one of the pieces that he wrote toward the end of his life is called Vers la Flamme, Toward the Flame. And in 1912 through 14, he was already telling us about something even before fission was discovered as a force, namely that it's possible for the world to be engulfed in flames. And just think of Hiroshima and think of what the possibilities are after the two bombs in 1945, the possibility that the human can destroy himself. I mean, this is the way he was moving. And how did he do it? Well, I went through these for several weeks and then chose, 12 preludes in 23 minutes. Now, that means that each one is really short. Most of them are only one page long. One or two pages long, and one is four pages long. And I went through them, and I found to myself, my goodness, I'm transporting myself from one world to another, all done by the same guy in the same suit of skin that he was born in. And I thought, well, I'll present this to Van Slyke, and he said, you're on. Bingo. So to make a long story short, this program was put on the air. I performed the piece, and we received congratulations, loving congratulations from the other competing schools for the program. Not that because I did it, but simply because it was done. So you're going to hear this program. I am not going to interrupt it, which makes Mike Newman feel real well, because all he has to do is push a button and then push it again when I say stop. You're going to hear these 12 preludes, and without interruption, please listen carefully. They're very short. You will know when each prelude is done, there'll be a gap. There are gaps in this. This is the pace of the CR network when they did classical music. At that time, so don't think the program has ended. It gives you a chance to enumerate these preludes and simply listen for a transition in a 23-minute period of one world to another, written by the same person. Let me tell you now, the first two preludes, as an example, establish the genius of this man in terms of how he could capture beauty in the same sense that better-known composers like Chopin, Schumann, Brahms, did. Then start listening to the rumblings in one piece. For instance, let's talk about the sixth prelude.